I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to another Championship Roundtable podcast. You can follow us at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm your host, Louis Shackshaft, football writer, blogger and podcast host on this occasion.
Hi, I'm Kevin from Leeds United Mad website, and Twitter handle is Leeds_Mad.
Hi, I'm Simeon Pickup, editor of the Tilehurst End of Reading website, and I appear on the podcast sometimes. You can find me on Twitter at SimFromBucks and find us on Twitter at the Tilehurst End.
Thank you very much for joining us, guys. It's great to have you both on. Obviously, a lot to talk about regarding the Championship. We know it's the international break, but what I'll quickly do is go over the results from last weekend. So starting with Leeds, the early kickoff, they drew 1-1 with Brentford. Middlesbrough losing at home 2-0 against Nottingham Forest. Millwall 2-1 victory over Aston Villa. Norwich losing 1-0 at home to Stoke. Preston 4-0 winners against Wigan. Queen's Park Rangers drawing 1-1 with Derby. Sheffield United winning again 1-0 against Hull. Swansea City losing 2-3 at home to Ipswich. West Brom victorious 4-1 winners against Reading. Birmingham winning 3-1 at home to Rotherham. Bolton losing at home 1-0 to Blackburn, and on the Sunday there, my team 2-1 victorious away at Bristol City. So initially, guys, you know, that's the results roundup of the week, or the weekend, should I say. What is the biggest win and the surprise win in your eyes?
For me, I think obviously Ipswich beating Swansea 3-2 away was 12th time of asking for the new manager there, so it's been a long time coming, but nobody would have expected them to get the win at Swansea, who were obviously one of the favourites for promotion this season. So a magnificent win for them. Preston's 4-0 win against Wigan stands out because Wigan have been doing quite well recently. And let me have a look. Millwall, I suppose, beating Villa. They haven't won for a while, but obviously Villa were in a bit of disarray at the time, so maybe not a major surprise. So they're the sort of major results that sort of stand out for me a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we'll talk about Aston Villa. Have you got any other different ones there, Simeon?
No, not to be honest. Ipswich getting a win and Preston as well. Vital 3 points for both of them. You need to start picking up points at this early stage. I know it's still early, but if they're not picking up points even now, then there's a risk of these teams getting cut adrift. So it's a really good step for Paul Hurst and Alex Neil that they got the win at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've got a couple down there, and you've mentioned one of them already, is obviously Ipswich. Huge win at Swansea. Didn't see that coming. I know they managed to grab that late goal through Chalabar in the 84th minute. But the biggest one for me was Forest win at Borough. I've said all along that I expected Borough not to drop many points at home this season. But Forest winning 2-0 has put them right in the thick of it in the obviously in the playoffs, and both second half goals from Lolly in the 50th minute, cracking strike, and then Grabham with his fifth of the season in the 77th minute was a great victory for Forest. So they've pushed right up the table. If you were to pick one game though, both of you, as like a surprise victory maybe, is there any one in particular that you would pick, just one game?
For me, just the Ipswich game, really. I think it came out of the blue a little bit, that one. I think, I don't know, I don't even know what the form's like. I don't know if they've been playing well or just snatching bad results, but And anybody who goes to Swansea and gets the victory, I mean, we had a tough game there ourselves when we just scraped a 2-2 draw. So that was, for me, that could kickstart their season now.
Yeah, they picked up three draws, then they lost, and then they obviously they won at the weekend. So yes, that was a huge win for them because they haven't won at all in a while. Yes, same question to you, Simeon.
Yeah, Forest win, as you mentioned earlier. Middlesbrough, the kind of team that you would usually bank on to edge these kind of games. I know Forest are kind of up in the top six, so it's one of those promotion clashes even this early on in the season. And you usually back a Tony Pulis side to maybe edge it 1-0 or get a clean sheet and pull off some kind of result. But for Forest, still kind of a pretty new side considering all the signings they made in the summer. For them to go up to Middlesbrough, a real promotion favourite side, and to get a 2-0 win is very impressive, to get a clean sheet as well. And it's a real sign of how they could hopefully kick on and perhaps trouble the top two later on in the season.
Yeah, definitely. I think under Karanka, a lot of people would have tipped Forest to be in that top six, and they're there now. And to be honest, I expect them to be roughly around there till the end of the season, like I mentioned there. But moving on topics, the biggest news of the week and today as we record, actually, Dean Smith appointed as Aston Villa boss, John Terry's assistant. What are your, both your initial reactions to that? I know we talk a lot about Brentford and Dean Smith, and, we admire him as a manager. So I'm guessing you'll say that's a good appointment. But yeah, what's your initial reaction there?
Yeah, not a surprise. I mean, first of all, can I just send respects out to Villa fans for Doug Ellis, who passed away?
Of course,
today.
Yeah.
Fantastic chairman he was for them. Yeah, not a major surprise. I don't think he was first choice though. He might have been down the little list a little bit, but I don't think he'd be too bothered about that. I think his family is obviously, and himself, a big Villa fans. It's his dream job for him, really, I suppose. So not a major surprise, even though after the weekend, obviously, he was raving how good Brentford were doing and, what a good season that they were having, and how he was looking forward to them sort of, breaking into that top six, maybe top two. So maybe the Brentford fans will be a bit surprised after that, but not a big surprise after, obviously, Henry turned it down, allegedly. I don't know if he was offered it, but he was on the list. John Terry was obviously favoured for the number one role, but he's getting the number two role there. A couple of other names were sort of bandied around, but obviously they've gone for somebody fairly safe, I suppose, if you like. He's done his apprenticeship at Walsall and Brentford now, done decent jobs at both clubs. But obviously, has he got that personality to handle all the characters that are at Aston Villa? There's some big names there, and it's going to be a massive test for him, really, because it's going to be totally different to what he's used to Brentford and Walsall. It's going to be a massive challenge for him. And obviously, he's got John Terry, he's number two. Maybe he's not his first choice himself, you don't know, but he's been told he's got to work with him, and it'd be interesting to see how they both do together.
Yeah, it will be interesting. From a neutral's perspective, obviously having no indication on Aston Villa and Brentford, I'm not really fussed what they do. But yeah, Dean Smith has been a great, great manager there. And, I'm guessing a lot of people would have liked seeing Dean Smith take Brentford to the Premier League just to see how they would have done, because they've had a great setup and great infrastructure there. And he obviously knows what he's doing. What's your initial reaction, Simeon, as well?
Yeah, a really good appointment from Villa. For me, he was the standout candidate, not just because he's a Villa fan himself and he's got family there, so he's got that connection with the fan base and the club. But also, you look at the long-term job that he's done at Brentford in terms of taking younger players and kind of polishing them and improving them as players. And that's what you need at a club like Villa. You don't just need a short-term manager who's just going to come in and get some results. You need someone to buy into the club's academy, who has got something a lot to offer in the next couple of years. You need them to bring in a proper playing style and really offer the club something over a course of a couple of seasons rather than just the short term. So for me, Smith is the ideal man to come in and implement that. So it's good to see them go for that kind of manager who's worked his way up through the leagues, and hopefully he can properly prove how good he is at a slightly higher level than Brentford. No disrespect to them.
Yeah, definitely. I totally agree with you there, Simeon. What do you think are Villa's expectations this season now, though, Simeon? You know, I mean, they're not too far off, you know, the playoffs and even the top. You know, they're only 3 points off fifth. Obviously, with a long way to go. We've only played a quarter of the season. Where do you think Villa will finish this season now under Dean Smith? And like I say, what are their expectations or what should they be?
With the squad they've got, there's no reason they shouldn't be in the top six, to be honest. I know it's been a slightly slower start than they might have hoped for, but when you've got players like Bolasie in there and Tammy Abraham, they are going to score you goals. They are going to create chances for you. And to be honest, if they're not getting in the top six, this season won't be as good as it should be, to be honest. And I know it can take a manager a little bit of time to settle in and properly get his ideas across, but you would have hoped that from Villa's point of view, he can come in and have a immediate impact by giving the whole place a lift, because I know the fans were getting a little bit down about things dragging on and Steve Bruce, and they need a lift, they need a boost, that real shot of morale, and hopefully he can do that. And especially with someone like John Terry, who played a key part in their playoff final push not that long ago, if he can rejuvenate the players as well and hopefully kind of bring that link that he's already got with the players into his role as an assistant manager, then perhaps Smith could have quite a quick impact and really push them up the table.
Yeah, I agree. Again, I think, like you say, if they don't finish in the top six this season, it could be looked upon as a failure, although they are potentially going under a bit of a transition now, but they have got the players there and, you know, they've got some Premier League players, so they certainly should be up there and start climbing the table. To flip reverse that though, I'll come to you, Kev. What should Brentford's expectations be now? Obviously, they've had a fantastic manager and he's been in charge at Brentford for a long while now. I know as it stands, we don't have any idea who's going to come in charge of Brentford for the foreseeable future. But realistically, what's Brentford's aims now for the remainder of the season?
Yeah, well, they're in a fantastic position, obviously, at the moment. Pushing for a playoff place, and obviously expectations were quite high under Dean Smith, because obviously they do play an attractive style of football.
Yeah, they do.
But it's going to be difficult now to sort of replace him, I suppose, because obviously you're sort of 12 games into a season now, and you've got to be looking around to see, you know, who's going to be available that sort of fits their style. I mean, they've had some good managers in the past. Obviously Warburton did a great job there over the years, over sort of a couple of years he was there, when he took over from Rosler, who did a magnificent job there. Uwe Rosler, I think he took him into the Championship from League One. Warburton continued that and made him a really good side. And obviously now Dean Smith is sort of taking them even further, really, if you like. He's been, I think, over 140 games in charge there, and he's got a good percentage.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's going to be difficult to replace him, really, to be honest. I can't think of anybody available now that could maybe fit their style. So I don't know what the backroom staff's like, what the assistant coach is there or whatever. Maybe he could step up a little bit. I think it's going to be very difficult to replace a manager as good as what Dean Smith has done at Brentford over the last sort of for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Dean Smith, for me, is one of the best Championship managers we've had in probably a long time. And yes, he does deserve a club like Aston Villa. And I wish him all the success, whether that comes this season or next. But talking of managers, we'll move on topics. Obviously, with the international break at present, it's give us time to reflect on the first quarter of the season, let's say. So I just want to bring it up, basically. Who do you think is the manager of the season so far? I know we're only 12 games in and it's, you know, there's a long way to go and things will dramatically change, I am sure. But so far, who's the manager of the season so far for you?
For me, it's got to be Darren Moore, to be honest, at West Brom, looking at the rejuvenating job he's doing at the club. They were pretty down in terms of morale coming down from the Premier League in such a disappointing fashion, but he's turned them around really quickly. We're only a dozen games into the season, but they're scoring goals for fun. They're right up the top of the table, and just looking at the job he did on Saturday from the point of view of a Reading fan who was on the wrong end of it. Even after the first half, when they were very below par, they were not purposeful enough. They just, the performance wasn't great, but just to look at the impact they evidently had at half time, they came out and really changed the game, controlled it, and scored four goals and pretty much blew us away. And that's the kind of impact that you usually only see from very experienced managers who know how to kind of manage how a game is going and really just turn it around despite how well the opposition are doing. And for Darren Moore to do that kind of job in pretty difficult circumstances, considering where the club was when he came in, that's very impressive. And that might prove to be the case over the course of the season. He might keep that up, he might not, but at the moment it's very encouraging.
Definitely, I agree with you on Moore there. I've got a few written down and I'll come to that, but Moore does seem very level-headed. They play some great football and, like you say, when they go behind, it doesn't seem to panic. It's all about playing decent attacking football, and I can relate to that because, obviously, they got a point at Sheffield Wednesday recently also where they found themselves 2-0 down with 5 minutes to go, and yes, I was pulling my hair out at the time, but, you know, that determination and that grit, they seem to be getting results week in, week out, whether that's a point or three. So fair play to Moore, because I didn't know whether they'd, let's say in inverted commas, do a Stoke where they are this season. Stoke seem to be struggling to adapt to the Championship at present, whereas, yes, West Brom find themselves right up there. So that's all credit to Moore. Yourself, Kev, any thoughts on another manager, or would you stick with Moore?
Yeah, I think Moore's a decent pick. I mean, if they'd have chosen him a bit earlier in the Premier League, he might have kept him up. That's how close he got to in the end. Obviously, he's got the benefit of having a decent squad and decent finances there as well. But obviously, like Stoke City, he's doing a much better job at West Brom than Rowett is at Stoke, because Rowett's got the same sort of money there and similar sort of squad, if you like, really. But he's finding it a bit tough. Yeah, obviously, I think Bielsa's doing a fantastic job as well at Leeds. But obviously, I won't pick my own coach for various reasons. But
you can do if you want, Kev. We'll let you off if you want to.
No, it's okay. I mean, I think he's doing a brilliant. I think he's doing a brilliant job, and he's a breath of fresh air at the club. But I'd still go for somebody like Phil Parkinson or Paul Cook, really, at Bolton and Wigan, respectively. Because
good shouts.
They had no expectations at all there at those two clubs, apart from relegation, and they're both sort of batting above their average at the moment. Bolton 16th with 4 victories, Wigan 12th with 5. Obviously, they've slipped down a little bit recently, but overall, I think they've both done wonderful jobs at clubs where there's not much budget going around at the moment, and they have to pick and choose what players came in pre-season. And I think they're both doing great jobs. And I know you're hosting tonight, Louis, but I've also got a shout out for the Wednesday coach as well. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. Is it Luhak?
Jos Luhuka, yeah.
I think after the shaky start, he's sort of transformed him a little bit, and he's got him into the top six now. So recent results have been very good for them, and I think he's sort of getting his ideas across, if you like, to the and he's, let's face it, he's got a decent squad there as well. And they all seem to be sort of playing for him a little bit more now. So that, hence why they're sort of in a good position. So maybe those three coaches, aside from Darren Moore, maybe Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, who's done a wonderful job again this season, I think they're the pick of the bunch, really, over the other coaches. And, of course, I include Bielsa in that top six as well.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need.
Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, it's strange actually, because I've got other managers written down other than Moore. But I'm, you know, talking about Sheffield Wednesday, which I can do. Yes, he has steadied the ship. I think we've only lost one game in eight now, and it's a strange one. So a lot of, I've been talking to a lot of people about it actually, and we're not particularly playing great football. We're in games every game, but the best thing about what Lukai seems to bring at the minute is, we're forgetting about the performance, we're getting the result, and whether that's a win or a draw, that's what's seen us into the top six. And and it's strange, because under Carvajal we wanted obviously the result and the performance, and at times we got that, especially in our season when we got to the playoff final. But at the minute, like I say, the performances haven't been fantastic, other than maybe Villa away and West Brom at home this season. But yes, we're getting the results, and like I say, only one loss in eight games now. And it's and if you've got a run of form like that, as we know in the Championship, it can see you into the top six. And I'm as surprised as anybody, but yes, we are there. We're sixth position in the international break, so that's great from my perspective. But other managers, hate to say it, but like you said, Kev, you can't look past Wilder. Wilder's obviously top of the league. Sheffield United, I'm surprised. You know, they've gone under the radar a little bit. Everyone was looking at, obviously, Leeds, West Brom, your Middlesbroughs, and then Sheffield United. Everyone else seems to pick up a draw recently, and they're right up there after four wins on the bounce. So fair play again to Wilder, because after last season, they overachieved, I thought. But you know, based on this season, they seem to be, obviously, right up there again. I'm not saying they're going to go up automatic, but it's... Yeah. Credit again to Wilder. I mentioned Moore, obviously. The other one that I'd like to mention is Tony Mowbray at Blackburn Rovers. Again, promoted and find themselves 1 point off the playoffs. So
good shout,
again,
yeah,
Mowbray's doing fantastically well. And the other one no one's mentioned is, oh, you may have done, Kev, but Paul Warne at Rotherham. I know Rotherham, you know, the sat 19th, but I really thought that Rotherham would be this team this season where they were getting beat 3-0 week in, week out, and they'd literally finish on about 38 points. Well, they've got 11 points so far, sat in 19th with three victories. They keep getting these little, you know, 1-0 victories here and there, and that's credit to Paul Warne. I think he's a decent manager. He's just obviously got a lot of restrictions there, but I think he's doing very well. But yeah, moving on, we've obviously talked about manager of the season. So let's discuss player of the season so far. I've got quite a list, actually. You could list 30 players. I know you can. But is there anyone in particular what stands out for you guys?
Yeah, Neil Maupay for me at Brentford, just looking at the sheer amount of goals he's scoring, leading the charts with 10 and another three assists as well. Really good start to the season from him, so hopefully he can keep that up. Harvey Barnes at West Brom, again, another person we had a bad experience of on Saturday, scoring a really good goal against us. And I think Leicester are probably going to think they probably should have kept hold of him, to be honest, because he's a very talented player, and it's looking like he's probably one of the best players in the division and can hopefully go on up into the Premier League at some point.
There is talk about him going back to Leicester in January, by all accounts.
I could see that happening.
Leicester recognised that they might have made a bit of a mistake there. So, yeah, watch that space on Barnes in January, I think, is the order of the day on that one.
That'd be interesting. What were you saying? Sorry, Simeon, you were going to move on to something else.
I'm going to be really cheeky, and I'm going to mention John Daddy Bodvarsson as well. I know he's not right at the very top in terms of the goal scoring charts. He's a few behind Maupay, but
I don't know. He's still bagged seven goals, I believe, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's got seven, and Mopai's got 10, and there's a few other players around there. But just looking at the rate at which John Daddy Bodvarsson is scoring goals, 81 goals per minute, the best at 81 minutes per goal rather. That'd be a bit of an odd ratio. I'd be very impressed if he managed that. Very impressed.
That's better than Messi.
But seriously, that's the best ratio in the league. It's even better than Mopai, and it just goes to show that if we can get him in the team a bit more, and hopefully if he can shake off these injuries, this injury he's got at the moment, then he could quite realistically challenge at the top of the table in terms of the goal scoring charts, and that's something we're not really used to at Reading. Bar Jan Kermigan scoring goals for fun a couple of years ago, we typically don't have that kind of free scoring striker. So if John Daly Bodvarsson can be that for us, then hopefully he can be a key player for us and perhaps one of the best in the league.
Yeah, Bodvarsson's one of the players I had wrote down actually, and as was Mofe. You know, he's made 10 appearances, 10 goals and 3 assists, like you say. So to be scoring every game is just, in this league, is unbelievable, and that's one of the reasons why Brentford are where they are. Have you got any other players you'd like to name there, Kev?
There's obviously, I like Roof. Roof's doing a good job at Leeds, and he's been out injured since the end of August, I think it was. His last game was Middlesbrough when it was 0-0. He hasn't featured since. So it'd be good to have him back in the side after the international break, because he was flying up to that point. So I'd like to see him sort of move on and get a few more goals. The main player for me, I mean, I think if he was in our team, I think would be doing even better, really. It's a character I don't particularly like, really, but I'm forced to pick him because he's standing out a little bit. It's Dwight Gayle at West Brom.
Yeah,
8 goals this season in 11 appearances since he joined them, and 5 assists as well. Obviously, he first came to prominence at Peterborough a few years ago. He knocked in a few goals for them and went to Newcastle. Big money move to Palace. I thought he was okay at Palace, actually. I thought he was doing a decent job in the Premier League. But obviously, he flopped a bit at Newcastle in the Premier League, even though they could do with him now, I reckon, a little bit. But I think he's mainly a Championship striker, really, and he seems to be proving that point at the moment, and he seems to be on a bit of a high, a new lease of life at West Brom, and he's doing really well. Like I said, if he was in the Leeds team, I reckon we'd be getting a few more goals and a few more victories. So he's the guy that sort of stands out a bit more. Obviously, I respect what Maupay is doing at Brentford, a smaller club, if you like, overall, but he's doing a good job there. But Gayle for me would make a hell of a difference in our team.
Yeah, I think Dwight Gayle's one of those players, isn't he, where you put him in any Championship club and they'd potentially be up there, definitely top 6. I think, you know, he's found his level in the Championship where he knows he can potentially score week in, week out, and he's, you know, it's about purchasing a player like that that's worth £20 million plus, really. Dwight Gayle's definitely up there. He's on my list as well. The one other one that I'd like to mention that is at Leeds, I thought Pontus Janssen's having a really good season, Kev.
He's been
very, very solid. A couple more that I've written down is Bradley Dack. I mean, he's obviously catching a few eyes at the minute, at Blackburn. 9 appearances, 6 goals, 2 assists, and obviously linked with a move away from the club and roughly a £20 million transfer fee, I think Blackburn are after. Whether someone would pay that, I don't know, but maybe that's cheap these days. The other one at Birmingham, actually, Lucas Jukovic, 12 appearances, 6 goals, 2 assists. He seems to really be doing well as of late. I know he scored that hat-trick recently, which boosted his figures. But yes, he's having a decent season at Birmingham. And then from, again, my perspective, I can't not mention Barry Bannon, actually. I'm hoping that you don't think I'm biased, but Bannon's been just instrumental this season for us in midfield. He kind of pulls the strings, and obviously his passing ability, and he scored 2 cracking goals this season also. So I thought I'd just mention him as well. But moving on to your clubs, basically, obviously, like I've mentioned, it is the international break, so we can all reflect on our season so far, as you like. Let's go to you, Simeon. What's Reading's expectations now then for the rest of the season? Obviously, they find themselves 21st. Is that where you believe they're going to finish, or do you think they can push up the table, or do you feel the worst? What are your thoughts?
I think we're, to be honest, more than capable of getting a lot higher than that. You look at the performance we put in the first half at West Brom, where, to be quite honest, we outplayed them and we play like a top six side. There is a decent amount of quality in our side, not enough to properly trouble the top half the table. But when we're playing well, when we're confident, as we have shown on a few occasions, we're more than capable of playing really well and looking like a good side, to be honest. The problem has been consistency, or a lack of it, and a lack of morale and belief as well. And that showed on Saturday, collapsing so pathetically, to be honest, in the second half. If we can hopefully bounce back from that, then there's no reason why we can't finish perhaps lower mid-table. And that starts just after the international break. I know we've got a game against Millwall at home, which is one of those matches you should be kind of earmarking as a win, hopefully, if we can get it. But if we can't win those kind of games, and we haven't been doing it recently, you look at losing at home to QPR, kind of side that we should be beating, no disrespect to them. Mm. Then if we can't do it, then we are going to stay around this kind of spot in the table. But if we can get those wins, if we can start to pick up a little bit of momentum, then I'm confident that relegation won't be on the cards.
Yeah, I agree. I think Reading have got enough quality to jump up the table compared to some other teams in the league. But after, I'm going to ask you as well, after two losses on the bounce, Simeon, has the international break come at a decent time for Reading?
Normally, I'd say no, to be honest. Because when you have such a disappointing game like the one we had up at West Brom, you want to kind of remedy it as soon as possible. You want to get out on the pitch again. You want to have an opportunity to win a game as soon as possible, yeah, and to kind of purge that negativity from the last game. But just looking back to the last international break we had this season, we lost our last game before it. It was a home game against Sheffield Wednesday. I'm sure you remember it. Really good goal from reach that day, and Bannon was excellent. But we bounced back really well after the international break. I'm not sure why that was, whether it was kind of having that break allowed us to reset. But after that, we beat Preston North End. We beat Hull City around that time as well. So assuming that we can, or at least hoping rather, that we can have a similar impact from this international break, then I'd like to think it's come at a good time, but it's too early to tell.
Yeah, I suppose you're only as good as your last game. And obviously when the next fixture comes, it's one they'll be looking to win. But like I say, if you lose that game, then like you'd never know if the international break's good or bad, do you? It's a strange one. Question to you then, Kev. I'm guessing you're going to say that the international break's come at potentially a decent time for Leeds, especially with all the injuries that you've got at the minute, and you'll be wanting to recoup those players and have a fully fit starting 11. I know few of those players are out for a while now, but what are your thoughts on that? The international break, good or bad for you?
Yeah, I think it is a good time. Obviously, first five games, we got 13 from 15 points. Second five games, only six. So
yeah,
that sort of coincided with us losing Pablo Hernandez and Kiamar Roof, and it'd be great to have those two players back in the team after the international break, and hopefully we can get moving again to get some victories under our belts instead of just settling for draws. Obviously, I'll be happy with another one defeat in the next 12 games as well, like we've achieved now. That put us on 46 from 24 games, which is promotion, form, really. Yeah. And hopefully, I don't know how long Douglas is going to be out. We're missing him on the left-hand side at the moment, but hopefully he'll be back soon as well. Bamford's a long-term injury until about January time. So if we get Roof and Hernandez back in the team, that'll be a massive plus for us, especially a tough game after the break as well, away to Blackburn. So it'd be nice to have them two back in the side, because they make a massive difference. It would have made a massive difference to some of the draws that we settled for. Instead of going for the 3 points, they could have made a massive difference in those games. So yeah, let's hope they're back, and let's hope when they do come back, they continue where they left off with some magnificent form that they left behind.
Yeah, I'm guessing when they do come back, I'm an admirer of Hernandez. I think he's a great player and he can be instrumental in midfield, etc. And a great attacking threat. So when they do get those type of players back, I don't see why they can't continue that form. But the question also to you, Kev, about expectations. Obviously, we've had the first quarter of the season with Bielsa in charge. Impressive so far. But where do you see Leeds at Christmas and beyond that? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, obviously, under Bielsa, I thought we'd get off to a bit of a shaky start, actually, because obviously new ideas, new training methods. I thought it'd take us about 10 games to actually get used to it, but we just sort of flew into it straight away. And like I said, we had an amazing August, unbeaten. And obviously, it was just the squad, the depth of the squad, really, that worried us a little bit. If we lost Hernandez, was nobody to replace him. And obviously, young Tyler Roberts is only 19 and he's up front on his own at the moment. So we're putting a lot of pressure on some young kids at the moment, but they seem to be handling it quite well. But there's nothing like, players have got, you know, a few years under the belt. And obviously, Hernandez comes under that sort of label. And you do miss a player of his ability that can change your game with just a little pass or a little free kick or a little, you know, a bit of class that other teams don't have in this league. You know, every team needs that Hernandez in the team that could make a difference. And obviously, with this talk about Radziani today wanting a Premier League 2 to be set up to take over the Championship. But obviously, every club wants to be in the Premier League. So that is our goal. And hopefully Bielsa now, he knows the league. He's got 12 games under his belt, and I think hopefully he'll know what it takes to get this team promoted.
Yeah, a lot of people quickly talk about the wheels coming off at Leeds like they do. Do you think that could potentially happen, or don't you see that under Bielsa? So I know they talk about, obviously, the energy do you think that could happen or not? Or do you think January might be a lifeline, that transfer window?
Yeah, I think a bit of both, really. I don't think we should panic if we start losing games, because I think Bielsa has everything under control. He has a lot of respect from the players. Obviously, people do talk about his intense training methods and how teams do tire out as the season goes on. But hopefully, you know, we're talking about the Championship here now. Hopefully, the players will be suited to this in this particular league. Mm. Obviously, we've got Izzy Brown on our books now as well, and he won't be ready until January. He'd be a great player to come in for the likes of maybe Saez, who might tire a little bit as the season goes on with the heavy pitches and stuff. So I think Bielsa has things under control, but you can never say never with Leeds. I mean, the wheels could literally come off tomorrow. Something amazing might happen at the club that nobody knows about. But hopefully this is the most contained and most relaxed I think Leeds fans have been in a long while now. And I think they're just enjoying the football, to be honest with you. The football that we're watching now is a level, 10 times the level above what it was under Heckingbottom. Yeah. And even Christiansen to a lesser degree. You know, everybody's just enjoying going down to the home games, watching the games, and watching them away from home as well, where we still remain unbeaten, of course, as well. Our game seems to suit the away performances a bit better than the home games at the moment. But hopefully we can get a mixture of the two as the season goes on, and it'll take us in the right direction.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at the league table as well, actually. And yes, Leeds do and have been one of the most impressive and most attracting football teams this season so far. But it's just interesting to see that Sheffield United are obviously top of the league, and they've lost 3 games this season, whereas Leeds United are 2 points behind and have only lost 1. And we talk about draws killing teams, and that's just a good example of that. The team at the top have lost 2 more than Leeds, who were sat in third.
Yeah.
So that might be something where Bielsa doesn't have that experience as such in this league about drawing games, where Sheffield United are replicating what they did last season, where they hardly drew any games at all, and they basically they won or lost, and it kept them right up down the table, and they seem to be doing the same again. But I'm going to put you on the spot now, so I'm going to come to yourself, Simeon. Obviously, like I say, we're just over a quarter of the way through the season. So if you were to now, again, reflect on the season so far, based on early indications, 12 games in, who are your 3 for promotion and who are your 3 for relegation?
Oh, that's a tough one. I guess looking at promotion at the moment, you've got to look at West Brom, to be honest, looking at just how many goals they're scoring. Similarly, Middlesbrough barely conceding any goals and staying hard to beat. I know they lost against Forest, but you imagine they'll be able to bounce back from that and get over the line. So I'm not sure about the order, whether they're going to get automatic or playoffs, but I'd back Middlesbrough and West Brom as well. I can see Sheffield United just falling away, to be honest. I know they've started really well. Obviously, they're top of the league at the moment, but just probably haven't quite got that same edge that other teams around them have got. And I can imagine Leeds just slightly pipping them. Again, whether it's automatics or playoffs, I'm not quite sure at the moment. But for me, probably Leeds, West Brom and Middlesbrough for different reasons. Other end of the table, I can see that bottom three staying the same, to be honest. Preston, Ipswich and Hull.
That surprises me. I didn't think you'd go with Preston. I know we give James some stick, but I can see them finishing halfway this season. Preston, Ipswich and Hull, you say. Yeah, interesting.
I think it's likely to be them. I'm not quite sure, to be honest, because before the start of the season, I was looking at Bolton and Rotherham as basically bankers to go down. Pretty much surefires, but you just look at the way that they've started the season. Rotherham picking up a couple of 1-0 wins, as you mentioned earlier. Bolton being very hard to beat, and they're pretty high up the table in comparison to where people thought they would be. And they might, it does look like they are defying expectations. They might collapse in the second half of the season. You can't rule that out for anyone, but I guess maybe one of those two, but yeah, you've got to be worried about the bottom three too. I'm confident about Reading for reasons that I mentioned earlier. So hopefully won't be talking about us being in the bottom three at the end of the season. But there you go. One of those couple of teams.
I think you'll do just fine as well. What about yourself, Kevs? What are your thoughts on promotion and the relegation teams?
Obviously, I'm biased a little bit on promotion, but I think West Brom leads automatic. That's what I'm hoping for on our side anyway. And maybe Forest to pick the playoff positions. Then again, I could change my mind next week and pick
other teams. Difficult, yeah. You could pick 12 teams, really, couldn't you?
Well, exactly.
It is very difficult. What about at the bottom half?
Very much like, I think Simeon said, Hull, Ipswich. I think Ipswich will recover, actually, and do quite well now with that victory at Swansea. So, for me, I'm going to go for Rotherham, even though he said Paul Warren's doing a good job, he is, but he's got his hands tied behind his back a little bit. I think they could suffer as the season goes on a little bit. Millwall might suffer a little bit as well. They haven't had a great start. I know they pick things up a little bit as the season goes on, but I think teams have sussed them out a little bit now. Even at the New Den, they look a bit fallible. So Rotherham, Millwall, maybe Hull. I think Hull are doing a bit of a Sunderland, really. They're sort of sinking like a stone a little bit. And no matter what, I know Atkins says we were the best team that he's played in the Championship. I think he was just sort of covering himself a little bit, how bad Hull City are playing at the moment. And I think Hull, Millwall, Rotherham for me. But once again, next week, I could pick another couple of teams there instead. But it's early days. For me, that could happen. Yeah,
of course. Yeah, it is difficult. But if I was to choose also, I'm going to replicate what Simeon said regards promotion. I've got those three also. For me, West Brom, Middlesbrough and Leeds, one of those via the playoffs. I don't know in what order or, in first or second, I don't know. And none of those teams would care. But yeah, for me, it's West Brom, Leeds and Middlesbrough. At the bottom, all along, at the beginning of the season, I went for Rotherham, QPR and Bolton. Now the season's gone on, I'm going to kind of replicate what you've said, Kev, in terms of Rotherham. I think injuries and suspensions come along and, we get to Christmas, I can still see Rotherham dropping down the league and potentially be relegated, although I hate to say it because I think Warren's doing a good job. And yeah, QPR, I still think they might be down there, to be honest. Yeah. So the team I am going to take out and swap is actually Bolton. They've impressed me this season, and I do fear for Hull City. So I'm now going to change my mind slightly, but I'm going to put Hull City in there with Rotherham and QPR. But unfortunately, with that, we're out of time, guys. So if you would like to tell the listeners where they can find you, now would be a good time.
Yeah, Leeds United website. And also Leeds United _ Mad. All the information, all the latest news about Leeds can be found on there. And if you want to follow me on Leeds United Mad, please do so.
I'm editor of the Tar Heel Ender Reading website. We've got a podcast as well. And on our website, we write all about Reading news, opinion, analysis, all the rest of it. So go check us out on Twitter at the Tar Heel Ender. And you can find me on Twitter at Sim from Bucks.
And I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. You can also follow the show at Championship Pod, where we obviously update all the shows. You can check our pin tweets, who obviously keep listening week on week. We also have polls and general discussions around the results of the weekend, etc. But I'd like to thank everybody for listening, and we will catch you next time.